Good morning. We're back into John. Well, I tell you what, there is an apologetics. Apologetics means defense of the faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ was actually confronting, or they were confronting him. Let's get this turned around right. When you're in arguments with people, it's better just to be quiet and let the Lord do the work. And just listen and look at what they're saying. Okay. With that being said, Jesus is confronting, and I have preached now to my sixth sermon here in John chapter 8. Now, I'm getting my diaphragm going here and praying. Okay, Lord, sometimes I've had to preach, the mics have gone off, and I've had to, well, that's what you do when you street preach, right? You just let it go, and you love the people, and whatever. You know, let the hearers hear, and by faith, hopefully, they'll listen and get saved. So, as it was, Jesus was in the temple. Some people called it his father's house. And we'll see at the end of chapter 8 that he actually leaves. Okay? The same people running the business or the house are the same people that hate him. Why? Because Jesus has told us, right, that if they hate me, what? They'll hate you too. So let's get personal this morning. Let's get this going here. What I decided to look at here was a progressive attitude that people get when they decide to take it one step further. Okay, which in the end, they wanted to murder Jesus. You know, this is not really preached much anymore behind pulpits. You know, I love what Ken Ham had to say the other day. I was watching a little video excerpt. He says, you know, the problem is with churches today is the world. Well, I've known that for years. You've known that for years. The world has crept into the church, and what happened is that a lot of people have left good sound churches that have good doctrine. Oh, I've had a lot of people look at this, and I'm online too, and you know what? We got a very strong, a very firm foundation in the Constitution. Thank God for that. But the problem is that the world has crept into the churches, and people have left good, sound churches. There are not many left here. Let me encourage you. There's not many left here like this anymore. We're not a lost and dying breed because the Word of God goes on forever, right? And his word is never void. Amen? Okay? Yeah, it's funny because somebody had visited Jack Howell's church and from Handy, Indiana. And this person told me this past week, I had to laugh because the last time I'd been there, it was over 40 years ago, Jack Howell's was preaching. Sword of the Lord, the good old days. And us preacher boys would go there and, you know, preaching the gospel. Now I fast forward it 40 years later, and God has put me in the church, God bless you all, that is the doctrine. Reason why I'm bringing this all up is because today, as it was in Christ's day, people aren't listening to the truth. And what is the truth? The Word of God. Anything other than that is not. So let's look at this progressive attitude that they had. Of course, John was writing what? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, right? John chapter 20, verse 31. Then we see that there's John chapter 8. We're going to look through this. There are six steps here. Number one, they looked at him as being a liar. John chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. Now listen to what they say in response. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. And basically they called Jesus a liar to his face. Ever had somebody call you a liar to your face? It's kind of rude, isn't it? It's like a verbal slap in the face. What did Jesus do? Oh, you know, he was about his father's business. And he was not concerned necessarily about them because they were lost. And yes, Christ does care about the lost, and we need to care about the lost. But they had pretty much sealed their fate. Christ knew what was going to happen to them. Later on, we'll see that he says, you're of your father, the devil. And never give up on people, right? We should always be praying for them. But we see, number one, basically, they called him liar. And then we see, number two, verse 19 in John chapter 8, then they said unto him, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. In other words, they were saying, Jesus, you're an illegitimate child. They knew, again, they knew who he was. He was the child of Joseph and Mary. They all knew that, but they denied it. It was what they called plausible denial. We know what happened, but, you know, it's like the whole woke philosophy. We know, but we call the truth a lie and a lie the truth. Okay, and that's why you get people today who are so mixed up in the head. But we unmixed that a long time ago with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? We know what the truth is. And it has set us free in Christ. So, no, Jesus is not the father of a Roman soldier, which they had already written that up in their history. And they believe that even to this day, some rabbis do. And so, well, if a lie doesn't work out, we can't defame him and say that, you know, your father was from an illegitimate Jesus. Then number three, verses 31 through 34, we see there is the flat denial. Verses in John chapter 8, 31 through 34 says, then Jesus said unto those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, remember this, that there were many Jews that believed on him, but very few abided in God's word. Today, we're abiding in God's word, right? We're doing that because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We will place our lives on the line for him. I know I would. And that would, somebody says, easier said than done. Well, I think the bottom line is that what if I got the loose? You know, some people already told me, you know what, I'm ready to go home to the Lord. This body of mine is not functioning very good, and I'm good enough to do that. But there are people who I love and people who I want to be with, and I don't want to be selfish, you know, and I want to be selfless. So abide means to remain, endure, stay with it. So if you abide in my word, Jesus says, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. And they answered him, we are of Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. Remember that? We talked about that about 3 to 4 weeks ago. Of course, they were in bondage, spiritually to Satan, but also to the Romans, to others, the Babylonians, etc., etc. So how can you say you will make us free? It's amazing how Jesus comes back with grace. You know, it's just amazing how we can come back with grace to people when they're just being ignorant, rude, and just hard up selfish with themselves. We can still love them. And it says here, Jesus answered them, most surely I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and the slave does not abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And we talked about that too, how a son in a father's house back in the day, if they had a slave, they could actually make them free. And Jesus saying, don't you get the parallel here? Remember, they deserved death. I look at it this and I'm saying, they're treating our Lord this way? Well, Jesus' love goes beyond whatever we ask or think. And that's when, you know, we remember him laying down his life. He just, for you and I, because we were no better. I want to encourage you this morning that you all are sons of God. You are in Christ's likeness. You are saved. You love the Lord. And so there shouldn't be anything more than love coming from us. Remember when Peter and Christ got together and the Lord said to him, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, you know, Lord, I love you. And the Lord said, Peter, do you really love me? And Peter says, you know what, Lord, I love you. You know, it has the idea of, Peter was saying phileo, has the idea of a philia type of love. You know I love you, Lord. And then finally, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And of course, it's talking about feeding his sheep and so on and so forth. And Peter says, ah, I got it now. Agape, I love you no matter what. God's love. That means it goes beyond anything that we could ever think or dream about. It's in his word. It's finished. It's done. It's Christ alone, us crucified. And Peter got the message at the end of John, the Gospel of John. So that's the kind of love that we should have for the undesirables, the ones that hate us. So moving on here, so there's a flat denial. And then we see, fourthly, there's a deliberate insult. And starting in verse 48, where we're starting off here this morning, verse 48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, okay, after Jesus had just given his word, and his word was truth. We looked at that last time. Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan? Now, they had gotten to the point now where they're name calling. You ever been called names before? Sure we have. Have we ever called people's names? Well, I hope we haven't, but I'm sure we have, because we're all sinners. But it's another resort of, like, I'm exasperated. I don't know what else to do. So I'm going to call you something. It's a childish thing to do. A Samaritan, basically, they had intermarried with the Assyrians. Remember that, with the northern kingdom of Israel. The Israelites were intermarrying. And then as well is that they wanted to help build the second temple in the time of Ezra. All you got to do is look in Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And 2 Kings 17, 23 through 24. And but the Jews, the pure Jews, were like, no, we don't want you Samaritans to help us build the second temple, because you're not of the pure race. How prejudicial. You know, there's prejudice today, a lot more today than I've ever seen in my life here in this country. But it was bad back in that day. And so they denied. Remember back in John, you had the Samaritan woman at the well. Well, it worked one hand with the other. The pure Jews were like, we don't want any Samaritans to come on our soil. We'll, you know, dust the dust off our feet. And then the Samaritans were just as bad, because they were like, no, I'm of Abraham's seed, and guess what? They built their own temple, the Samaritans did. So there was a lot of bickering back and forth, but Christ came with compassion to the woman at the well. And actually, he dealt with this. So when they called Christ a Samaritan, Christ understood that. He was God in the flesh. He knew. He was love in the flesh. God is love. I tell you what, I can't get enough of that. Amen. We can't get enough of love today. Because even though I went up the main, saw all the pretty things, did all the neat things up there, it cannot compare to Christ. And by the way, there are hardly any good churches up there. They're gone. Why? Because of apostasy. We've been living in apostasy for a long time. You know, liberalism back in the 50s after World War II, and the rise of cults and et cetera, taking prayer out of school, everything. And we have a handful of us left. I'm not saying we're the only Christians on the face of the earth, but you know what? Again, very thankful for the doctrine here. And I tell you what, there are people here in leadership that fight for it. There are you that fight for it every day. We put on the whole armor of God, and we're fighting it every day. Because people are just like, well, why don't we just have, you know, do this, you know, why can't this happen and that happen? No, no. As Jesus said to Peter, if you really love me, not because of feelings, you know, people like to change God's word because, you hurt my feelings. Well, no, it has to be agape. It has to be God first. And God is unlimited with his love. So looking here, you have, fourthly, there was a deliberate insult, and also he says, you have a demon. which, in other words, the Jews were looking at him like, you're crazy too, Jesus. Can you imagine being in Jesus' shoes? I wouldn't want to. But I tell you what, some of people have, in a sense, through the Spirit of God, they've been persecuted. You can be persecuted physically, spiritually, mentally, okay? And it's a spiritual battle. I'm sure this week many of us have, I know I have too, been through immense spiritual battles, especially when something good's coming up. Or you just can't explain it. But you're praying for people and you're just like, sometimes I feel like I'm out of my mind. You know you're not. You're fighting a spiritual battle. You're not the only one. And you know what? I just want to comfort you and tell you out of love that Christ understands what you're going through. You know? So just take heart in that. Take courage. Take faith that these days are getting tough. They are getting tough. And when it's tough, the tough get going, right? I like that saying. Makes you feel better. Yeah. So verse 53, or excuse me, going down here, as we continue here, and then want to skip out on God's word here. So you're saying, no, I don't have a demon. No, I'm not a Samaritan. And it says here that Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. It's talking about spiritual death. You get some quacks out there, some teachers. And let me tell you, be careful what Bible studies you go to. Some people, I'm not saying somebody's going to the wrong Bible study here. I'm not saying that. But be careful. Be careful. Because this is where it all starts. People get confused, or they may have been brought up in a church and they've never really talked to a spiritual leader in their church or their pastor, and they go around asking other people questions about it. And of course, I understand that's between that person and the Lord, but be careful. Please be careful. Now, the average, statistically, for the average single woman in churches, they go to 3 different Bible studies. Be careful what you hear. And by all means, be the Berean God's called us to be. Study the word yourself. If you have a question, go to your pastor. That's what he's there for. Or go to one of your elders or your deacons and say, I need help. You know, go to one of the godly ladies, get it out, right? That's there, that's, you know, wants to help you. We need each other today. We need each other. And, so, verse 52. And then Jesus said unto him, now we know that you have a demon. Yeah, of course they're going to, that complete, you know, ignorance. I don't want to hear it. You know, put my hands over my ears, like I said a couple of weeks ago, and they get thrown in a temper tantrum like he did when Jesus was preaching a few times and a few messages that I've done. You know, they act like little kids getting all upset. They don't want to hear it. Abraham is dead, and the prophets you say, if anyone who keeps my word, he shall never taste death. They're saying, Jesus, you are nuts. We all die. They don't get it spiritually. Jesus is about the spiritual realm. He's not there about the physical realm. The spiritual goes on. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? They got it all mixed up. And, of course, they have to go with the accusatory approach. And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? Or, in other words, who do you think you are? Think you're all this, that, and the other? And because they took a very proudful approach, it's like trying to tell somebody who's been something or of a rather for a long time, who's had in the family, in a business, And many generations in a business. Remember, there were 86 generations since the priesthood started. 86 generations. And they're trying to say, who do you think you are? Well, in Galatians 3:8-9 says this, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and the Jews, preached the gospel unto Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed, so that those who are of the faith and blessed with believing Abraham. It's by faith that we're justified. I added in there, it says just the Gentiles, but I added in there the Jews too at this time. Because God's word says strictly, do not add or take away from my word. But at this time, this is salvation to the Jews, then the Gentiles. So, Jesus, who are you anyway? And we see here in verse 53, we see that it's a height of sarcasm. You know, when somebody is angry at you or somebody has a progressive attitude. So basically, one, you're a liar. Two, you are an illegitimate child. Three, we're going to flat deny who you are. Number four, it's a deliberate insult. That doesn't work. Then, you know, be sarcastic about it, you know. Saying out loud. I could see them in the temple saying it out loud in front of Jesus Christ. Well, who do you think you are? You ever seen some neighbors before? Kimberly and I lived around enough places in the ghettos and the rich part of towns, whatever. And you get all kinds of people. It doesn't matter who they are. Some people like to hang their dirty laundry out there, so to speak. And, you know, people with their hands on their hips, body language, well, who do you think you are, tapping their foot, you know, and getting angry and so on and so forth. And you're like, I don't want to hear this. But, you know, you do. And you're like, by the grace of God, so am I, you know. I thought about it, you know, so I did, you know. So, you know, it can be pretty belligerent. Then we see here in verse 54, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. If my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God, yet ye have not known him, but I know him, and I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do not know him and keep his word. Well, I do know him, excuse me, and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced in my day, and he saw it and was glad. Oh my goodness. Now they're looking at this as, okay, wait a minute. Abraham lived 2,000 years ago? What are you talking about, Jesus? It's amazing when people don't listen very well, okay? And they said to him, then the Jews said unto him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? No, it's the other way around. Abraham saw him and rejoiced. Not that Jesus saw him. See, right away, when people argue, sometimes they twist the words around. They're kind of sneaky because they don't want the truth. They want a lie. So they will try everything and everything to mix things up. And I love what Jesus does here. And he says, Jesus, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, most assuredly I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. It has the idea Jesus was timeless. He was saying, now listen, there's a reason why he said, I am. Because he says, don't you get it? At the burning bush with Moses. Now you've argued already about Moses enough. Now what about Abraham? Now you're using Abraham as a crutch. Okay? And do you realize at the burning bush, Christ was speaking to Moses and saying, you know, I'm going to let your people go. I'm going to let your people go. And Moses got it. These people weren't willing to let go of their religion. And that's all it is. Today, we have a lot of that today. You go out and talk to people. There's a lot of religion, as I said before, but there's very few that know the truth. Very few have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Very few of us today, like I said, you know, very thankful to have good doctrine here, because this is the same word as what the church here believes today. And we have stood the test of time. And guess what? We've paid a price here as a church too. Don't think for a minute because we're few in number that we've done things wrong. No, I really believe, and yes, we're not perfect. I got that. But I really believe there's been a lot of people who have left because they're not grounded in the Word. I really believe that. I have no qualms about it. I don't mind saying it online. But there are people who have left for the, not everybody, There's some people left for the wrong reasons. And pray for them. Pray for them. They'll come back to the Word. And so you have Jesus. Jesus as he is. And now look at this with the progressive attitude. Last verse here. They have tried everything. They have done everything to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ. But it makes them angry. And what is the utmost pinnacle of somebody who gets so angry? What? They murder. They were ready to stone him because he claimed to be God. And they were like, oh no, this is wrong according to the Mosaic law. They didn't think he was Christ. They thought he was, you know, whatever he was, he wasn't. Verse 59, then they took up stones and threw at him. And Jesus hid himself. It's interesting, he hid himself, has the idea as he disappeared amongst the people. You know, if I was one of the Jewish leaders then, if I wasn't so full of hate, because hate can blind people, I would have thought, you know, who can just disappear like this? Every time, remember earlier in John, they sent some Roman soldiers to go out and arrest Jesus. They found Jesus, but they were fascinated what he was saying. And then when they wanted to arrest him, they couldn't, because they couldn't find him. You know, God is overall, God is sovereign. He will do what he wants. And he's doing it in our church today. It's exciting. So we see here that he went out of the temple. He hid himself. He disappeared, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You know, when I think about this, I think about what we're living today, and I've had to make choices in my own life about where I stand with my own family. I'm talking about my siblings. And some of them do watch this. And I've had to make a decision many years ago when I got saved, and I've had to pay the price. And you all have had too. Everyone, and God bless you. You say, I'm taking a stand what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Oh, yeah, come on. Give in a little. Let the world come in. Have the best of both lives. But I found out when you're walking along the edge of a cliff, it's real easy to fall over. And, you know, when you're walking the fine line, you need to be balanced. And it's hard to, but by God's grace, you can walk the straight and narrow. And the Lord's word says in Matthew 10:34 that Jesus came not to bring peace, but the sword. And so we wonder why, you know, certain people, I wouldn't necessarily call them enemies, but I like what my pastor said years ago. When he went to this conference, and he says, you know, you wouldn't believe this. This is just when I first started getting interested in ministry back in the early 80s. And he says, I'm going to warn you. The enemies look just like you. The enemies go to church. The enemies are the liberals. And he was talking about those who did not believe in the doctrine. And he went down to the state of Annapolis. I'll never forget this. In 1985, him and a bunch of preachers, good preachers, to argue over a situation that dealt with the morals and what, you know, God hates sin, but he loves the sinner, homosexuality. I'm not ashamed to say it's wrong, but God loves them too. I had to talk to some of them at the wedding I went to, gave them a big hug. And I loved them, but we didn't bring up the Bible because they knew what I believed in. But I loved them. And the only way that people are going to come to know Jesus Christ, if we love them, we don't give up our defense of the faith. God help us for that. But we love them, show them about Christ's love. I got to talk to these two young ladies, and I loved them so much, but I just, it crushed my heart because Satan had deceived them, and they didn't even know it. They're madly in love with each other, and I said, there's something better in this. But you know what? I pray for him. But my point is that, so my pastor went down to Annapolis, and he says, you know who the true enemies were? The ones in religious clothes. The ones that, you know, are in churches, the pastors. Those are the real enemies. Because people are following them and their false doctrine. I got an eye opener. And it's still true today. We are surprised, even today, we hear on the radio or on the internet that so-and-so pastor You know, and I pray, I don't judge these people. I'm supposed to love people as a pastor. And I pray I never fall into these sins. But these certain pastors deny the faith. They walk away from it. They have nothing to do with it. And they have huge congregations. And it's just, it's devastating to see this. Even some teachers that I knew years ago walked away from the faith. And I'm like, what happened? Was I deceived or were they deceived? And I go back right to the Word. I tell you what, if I ever go to jail one day, I, like Paul Bunyan, I want to take a Gideon's little Bible with me. So I make sure I hide God's Word in my heart. That Word is so precious, more precious than money, more precious than my wife. Of course I love my wife, but this comes from, to her it's the same way too, right? Got to. So, you know, anyway, with that being said, how do we confront our enemies here? Basically, is to trust the Lord, number one. Trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy understanding. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Confused this week because of the enemy? Trust in the Lord. Number two, obey his commandments. Love your enemies. Jesus says, go beyond that. Matthew chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, excuse me. Jesus says, go beyond. Give them your jacket if you have to. Show them the love of Christ. That's second. Number three. Okay. Just remember that Christ is with you all the time. Even when you're by yourself and you feel like you're all alone, Christ is always there. Never leaves you. Number four. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you get loudmouth people who want to talk down to you and try to, dominate you with their eyes. You ever get guys like that? You know, guys when I'm talking, it's like they're, you know, just look at them like, well, I got two eyes too. So what, you know? Then number five, we got to, suffer with them. Understand what they're going through. Jesus, I'm sure, wept thinking about what these religious leaders were thinking. They were so far gone, you know, and we work over at Evan. You have some people, and I have to be careful of HIPAA. You got some people, it's a memory place. And some people are there, you know, they got it 1 minute, next minute, sounds familiar to us. You know, you can remember things, and other times you can't. And you know what? You have compassion. You care for them because they're suffering. And you're like, oh, Lord, please give me the grace. And then also, too, we confront our enemies with the gospel. Call upon the Lord. Resist the devil. He must flee. You better believe it. If you're having a good day, enjoy it. Because tomorrow, you never know what's going to happen. You know. And saying, that's the simple gospel truth. I've heard that for years. Oh, yeah. Keep it. Hide it in your heart. Don't forget about it. Pray for the Gideons. They were here last week. You know, the Word of God. Yeah, there's less and less Bibles. Spiritual battles going on. Less and less Bibles in hotel rooms. I never see them hardly there anymore. And then, last but not least, remember this is so important, is to share the love of Christ. You can't go wrong. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, the one person said a long time ago, and I'm closing with this, your biggest enemy is who? Yourself, right? That's who your biggest enemy is. So, learn to put God first. Learn to put others second and yourself last. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is. And it's every day. It's got to be that way. But we have to confront them. We have to confront false sayings like the fatherhood of God. That means all people are the children of God. And then there's another one, the brotherhood of man. That means the universal salvation. There's a lot of false teachers out there. And we need to confront that in the humanistic viewpoint.